Couple quick texts. This one says, Jim, you're wrong. If you don't make the playoffs, you don't have a chance to win the World Series. Everybody knows that. They were going to make the playoffs no matter what. If you want to win the World Series, you should act like it at the deadline. If you say afterwards, my job is to make the playoffs, and then we look at that, which you did, it reinforces this idea that your job is not to win the World Series, which should never be uttered. All right, we've talked a lot of Tiger baseball. We got an hour left on a Friday, and John, I think we want to lift some spirits up and not dwell on the Tigers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the Lions weren't very uplifting last night.
I know, but the idea for you to talk football, I know, gets you in a good mood.
I'm very excited that it is August that we are in football. I know they played July 31st, but we did get a chance to see real football players play last night. Now, how many of these guys will actually be playing when the season starts? Not many. But I'm not going to overreact on a lot of things. The fact that they turned the ball over five times, you're not going to win games, no matter if it's preseason, postseason, regular season. You're not going to win games when you turn the ball over five times. That needs to be handled. And to me, that is, if I see that for more than just one game in the post or in the preseason, now I'm starting to worry a little bit about discipline at practice and attention to detail. But for one game, especially when you have a linebacker that is returning kicks to start the season or start the game.
We interviewed him. We liked him. Still like him.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, of course. They give this guy a shot for something fun in the Hall of Fame game and he fumbles the opening kickoff. Grant Stewart.
Yeah. That was not a great start. And the fact that they had eight penalties. To me, that is more of what I'm looking at when I watch these guys. Now, some of it's young players. Some of it's inept play at quarterback. With the turnovers?
I think that's what people are fixating on that I've seen anyway, right? Everybody knows it's the preseason and not to make any grandiose statements. People are concerned. They have a backup quarterback problem.
Yeah, because I'm not going to sit here and say, well, Trey Lance, he's fixed everything. He's the next great quarterback. It's a preseason game. I'm not going to overreact to a lot of things. But when you are playing against the backups and you throw two interceptions in the first quarter or the first 15 minutes that you're out there, and they're bad interceptions.
Both of them.
Kyle Allen did not look good. And I'm not going to sit there and say Hendon Hooker looked any better. He just didn't have as many opportunities. But we'll see him more. I would suspect that we'll see him start against the Falcons when they play next Friday.
So Kyle Allen, it's disheartening. They give him the start, and he's the vet, and he's supposed to be better than that. The first pick is late and behind, and then the second pick is double coverage, a ball that never should have been thrown, especially not where it was thrown. Mm-hmm. That's the guy who's winning the job. Now, Hendon Hooker's gotten looks with the twos in practice. You're right. He's going to start at least one of these preseason games. I got three more. But what I've seen in just flashes...
doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good.
No.
And sometimes I feel like he wants to use that athleticism too much. And he's not Lamar. I mean, he's got mobility, but he can't get away with it exclusively.
Yeah. What I did like about what I saw last night was there were receivers that were open. And even on some of those interceptions, if he had just gone and looked to the next option or looked off a safety and then gone back to Isaac Tesla, maybe there's something there. But it goes back to the quarterback. But what I liked was when I watched Lovett run his first route, I liked the combination that I saw there. So to me, I'm looking at that from a play caller's perspective. And John Morton, what am I seeing? Are receivers open? Go ahead.
But can you judge a coordinator in a game like that? Like, they're running vanilla stuff. Like, they're running some tried and true concepts, right? They're not doing anything exotic or anything.
Right, but if you can't do the basics, then why would I think you could do anything more complicated?
Well, that's why I ask, because the idea is it's vanilla.
It's vanilla defense. It's vanilla offense, but you're going to see some basics of what the offense is.
Like execution technique. Stuff like that?
No, not execution from the receivers. I want to see... if on that play, right, you've got, and I forget who the receiver was underneath, you have him setting up the secondary so that somebody has to cover that underneath receiver, and all of a sudden he comes into a window where Kyle Allen actually hits him, and he drops the ball. All right, so like, it's an incomplete pass, and then you could talk about Lovett in his hands, whatever. I'm not going to worry about that too much, but what I liked was when I see that route, and if it's Tim Reynolds underneath and it's Amon-Ra St. Brown over the top, okay, Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to catch that ball. It's a first down. Yeah. I like the fact that there were windows that were open for receivers. Quarterbacks identified those. Complete or incomplete, I don't care. It was open receivers.
You're saying the concepts work. The routes complement one another.
Yes. Okay. And so I liked what I saw there. The setup was there. And now it's about follow through. Defensively, okay, they got two sacks. There are some guys that played good. But again, you're watching guys that aren't necessarily, they're going to be special teamers at best.
Yeah. Going back to the quarterbacks, I said they have a backup quarterback problem. I don't know if you agree with that.
Go get Carson Wentz.
So that's the name that's been ticket texted in today. He's available. He was the backup Kansas City, right, last year? No issue sitting behind Patrick Mahomes and being on a winner and staying ready. He makes more sense than either of these dudes.
He's been around the league long enough. He's been around enough offenses that you could bring him in, whether it's this week, next week, 3 weeks from now, and he'll get the concepts of the offense. He'll be able to go out there and execute. And all you're looking for is a guy that can, if Jared Goff sprains an ankle in the third quarter, can he hold on to a lead and get you out of a game? If he has to start a game, does he give you a chance? Now, he's not going to be as good as Goff. He's not as good as other starting quarterbacks, but does he give you a chance to win that game? Or are you going into it with Hendon Hooker going, gosh, I hope this doesn't get ugly?
There's two types of backup quarterbacks, right? There's the guy you're talking about who can come in and play a quarter, a half, a short week, Thursday, quick turnaround. Just don't screw it up. Keep us in the fight. We understand you're not the starter. The second one is the unicorn. Nick Foles catches fire. Tom Brady's a six-round pick. You can't ever bank on that.
No.
All you're really hoping out of your backup quarterback is give me a quarter, give me a half, give me a game. Anything beyond that is unfair, unrealistic, and you're not going to find. There aren't 32 good quarterbacks, let alone 64.
Right. Yeah. And are you able to go in with the weapons? Can we construct a game plan where, hey, it's Jahmyr Gibbs and it's, you know, you can get two backs in the backfield. You can give them a little extra protection. You've got J-Mo going deep. You've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. You've got all of these guys that can do enough where if the quarterback just simply doesn't screw it up, you got a chance to win.
Stay ahead of schedule, ahead of the sticks.
Yeah, but with Kyle Allen and with Hendon Hooker, I don't see a guy in either of those two. And if you put them together, I don't see there's a guy that can do any of that.
So they got three more preseason games. Mm-hmm. When do they have to make a decision if they're going outside the org?
Well, I mean, the easiest answer to that is one you don't know. Well, you don't want them to be signed by somebody else.
Yeah. Well, that's the key is the Lions.
Just taking it off the table.
No one else has played a preseason game yet, right?
Right.
Other than the Chargers, and they're very happy with Trey Lance. He actually looked pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they're fine. I don't even know who they got DJ
Uyunglele.
Yes.
As their third string quarterback.
Big Cinco.
Are you comfortable giving the Lance take on the air that you gave me off the air, or you want to save that for closer to the season?
Oh yeah, well that's a long shot possibility.
That was bold ass predictions that the midday show does.
Right, yes,
that was Super Bowl. We'll save that. But you were a Lance guy to the draft. You think Harbaugh is going to give him a decent shot to?
It's a smoke and mirrors take.
Yes. Okay. What's a smoke and mirrors take mean?
When we get there, I will explain that to you.
One thing at a time, everything in its place. 248-539-9797. The backup quarterback problem, one of the takeaways.
Was there anything that you saw last night?
I liked Rakia Sin. I liked him coming out of college, and he's bounced around a little bit, but he played with a physicality that I know this coaching staff loves. He's a guy where I kind of felt like, get him off the field. I don't need him in here anymore. I've seen enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on this roster in a depth corner role, but special teams, and in a pinch, you can never have enough guys in the secondary, right? With all the sub packages, dime coverages. I liked Rocky Sin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was promising. Tesla, again, he had two catches on the same drive, encouraging. It's hard to judge offensive line play. I mean, I defer to you first of all, but secondarily, it's hard to judge to begin with.
Well, and Tesla, let's go back to him for a second. Did he look to you like he was an NFL wide receiver? Like he could be a number three at a compliment to Amon-Ra St. Brown and J-Mo.
Yeah, and I think it was Tirico who said it's not like the Lions needed more weapons, but
they might have found another one.
Yeah.
So I think that was interesting, and I really could see him being that guy where all of a sudden, hey, maybe you don't hear from him very much for 2-3 games, and then all of a sudden everybody's focusing on Amon-Ra St. Brown, everybody's focusing on J-Mo, and he has a game where he catches 4 or 5 passes for 60 yards.
Oh, I could see that.
Big first downs.
Absolutely. Again, it's such a great spot to be in as a young receiver, knowing J-Mo's going to occupy a safety. Mm-hmm. St. Brown's going to occupy at least one of the probably the other team's best corner and at least shading, if not double coverage in key situations.
All I have to do is run a good route and catch the ball.
Run a good route, beat the other team's fourth best pass defender, and I might get schemed open in and of itself.
Yeah. And scheme was probably the word I was looking for earlier. I liked the scheme that I saw from John Morton.
What stood out to you guys? 248-539-9797. We also got some Alex Anzalone news.
Yes, we did. He got a little bonus.
More on that next, 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. Well, listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys, cookie jar coming up at 9:35. It is a Friday. We will have some fun. There was a question about doors and wheels. It'll all make sense. They got everybody in a hot debate.
I did not think that that one was going to be that debatable, but I actually think I was wrong.
There's
maybe we all were wrong.
We should explore it.
Yeah,
9:35. And Happy Gilmore's inspired a question. The cookie jar is very topical, very goofy, and big opinions. We'll do that 9:35. Alex Anzalone, John.
Got himself another $250,000.
I don't think a lot of money for you and me.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was necessarily what he was looking for. He was probably looking for $2 to $3 million. But he did agree to terms with the Lions. The Lions have agreed to terms with him. So we should see Alex Anzalone go out there and play with those wonderful locks on fire. Because he is playing for 31 other teams, I believe, for the 2026 season.
So your read is this is his last year as a Lion?
I think so. Even though he came out and said, I want to retire a Lion. Hey, I wanted to be drafted by the Lions. It didn't happen. It's a business. I wanted to play my entire career in one spot. That didn't happen. I got to play 10 years in one spot, but it's a rare, very rare occasion where you get to call your shots, especially at the end of your career. I was not, at that time, a guy that could dictate exactly what I wanted. And Alex Anzalone has been good here.
Yeah.
He's been a fan favorite, but he's not at the level where he gets to dictate how his career ends.
I had the same read. This will be his last year as a Lion. And it's just because of tough decisions. It's not because he's an unproductive player or a locker room problem. He's the opposite. He's a great locker room presence, and he has been a productive piece on this defense. The baton is being passed. This is Jack Campbell's defense, mm-hmm. and that comes from the head coach. Alex Anzalone will be 32 next season. You're not given multi-year commitments when you have all these other guys that you have to lock up. So I think he probably got a reality check when he had meetings or his agent had meetings with the Lions, and they didn't have to give him anything. I mean, I'm not trying to give the Lions too much credit for cutting a check for $250,000, but they didn't have to. That was them saying, we want to give you a little something.
Right, and we value you.
Yeah.
And it's the general progression. They drafted a guy in the first round that is now in year three to take over for Alex Anzalone. Well, it's time for him to take over for Alex Anzalone.
Yep.
And there's a lot of guys that spend a year here, a year there, you know, five or six games here or there at the end of their career because they could still be productive, but they're just not the guy that is the man.
If you would have had it your way, you would have spent your whole career with one team, right?
Oh, yeah. I would have loved to have retired, and I would have loved to have walked away saying, it was my decision. Was it? But it's rarely your decision.
That's the norm. What you went through is the norm. Is lousy as that feeling may be, that is the norm. And then you kind of know you're signing up for it.
Yeah. And it's when you're on the business side of things, like there's way more great things about being a professional athlete or a football player than there are bad things. The business side of it, you get down and dirty, especially at the end of the career. And there's times where it just flat out, it sucks. It does. But
I think
them's the cards.
I think Dave Burkett tried to put it in like regular dude context. And he's like, this is like they gave him a 4% raise. Like you got your cost of living adjustment at the end of a...
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Sure. Everybody would like that. It might not be what you go to your boss seeking, right? Like he went
to
his boss.
A little cost of living raise? That'd be nice.
But he went to his boss looking for a little bit, and this is the most they could spare at the time. So Alex Anzalone, fan favorite, probably his last year in Detroit.
Yeah.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Okay, you guys, this is real life. This is not some superhero movie I'm about to tell you about. The Department of Energy just announced that a radioactive wasp nest was found outside of a nuclear facility in South Carolina. Okay.
Wow. And only Superman can save us.
Exactly. The Savannah River Site facility is just across the border from Augusta, Georgia, and the U.S. military made plutonium there during the Cold War.
Oh.
Okay. And on July 3rd, officials found a wasp nest, and tests showed that the whole nest was radioactive. But they say, hey, don't worry. It was just a moderate amount of legacy radiation from the old nuclear plant.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't mean that there's a leak. They say they treated it as nuclear waste. They sprayed it, whatnot. And they also said, hey, no worries. There were actually no wasps found in the nest, which could be good news. Or it could mean
they're on the loose.
They're spreading. Yes,
these
I don't know.
Mutant wasps could be flying around in a city near.
Are they 10 feet tall?
Doc Brown from Back to the Future is looking for the plutonium wasps.
Oh my gosh.
For the flux capacitor.
It well doesn't done. Sound real that yes. story, but it's yeah. real. Earlier this week, Lansing lawmakers shot down a plan to ban cell phones in schools, despite the fact that there was a lot of support from administrators, teachers, and even a lot of parents as well. But now the author of the bill thinks that there's a second chance for it. Going to rewrite the bill a little bit to include some exceptions, like emergencies. Let's say there's an active shooter, right? That was something he kind of said. If in case of an emergency, there would be cell phone use allowed.
How do you do it? Because I agree that is important. Do you have a spot in the classroom for the phones to be locked up, maybe?
That's what they talk. I mean, I'm guessing so. It's kind of like he's calling it the bell-to-bell ban, where like you come into school and you're going to put your phone into
your
whatever it is. He said a box. He wasn't saying personal locker.
Because if it's in your locker, it can't help you if there's a lockdown.
Right, because then you can't get to your locker if you're locked in your classroom. So I'm guessing maybe, but I need to know more details of the bill, which I don't have. It sounds like you put it in a box and you get to school, you get to take your cell phone out of the box and you go home. But he did say he's going to write in this new, basically, exception for things like school emergencies, as long as the use of cell phones doesn't interfere with the school's protocol or first responders activity, which I think we all agree with.
Yes.
That part. So he's going to try it again, see if it can pass a second time. Hey, Sophie Cunningham came after Caitlin Clark haters on her new podcast, Show Me Something. And for those who don't believe Clark is the face of the WNBA, she says, you're dumb.
I don't disagree with her.
Yeah, she's right.
I mean, it's and nobody is saying she's the best player in the league.
No, that wasn't the argument.
That wasn't the argument. No. She is clearly the face of the league.
If you ask a person on the street, name one WNBA player, she would be the most popular answer.
For sure. I think that's what almost everybody would say, unless you follow it closely and you're a huge fan, maybe somebody else.
Big Vegas Ace fan, fine. You'll say Asia Wilson. But for most people, it's Caitlin Clark.
For sure, without a doubt.
Yeah. Flexing your brain there.
That's right. Look at me. Smart.
So last year, there was a woman in Ohio who went to a Kia dealership to buy a new car. They helped her finance it through a lending company, and she was pre-approved for a loan, got the car, right? But a month later, that company decided that they didn't want to finalize the loan. I don't know the ins and outs, so I don't know why, but the dealership went out and repossessed the car while she was at work. Obviously, she was not amused. She was not happy about this at all. So she found a way to get revenge. While she was looking into her legal options, she discovered that the dealership failed to renew the registration for their business name, which was Taylor Kia of Lima. Yeah. And she registered it under her own name, and she sent them a cease and desist letter, basically telling them that they couldn't use their own name because it was now registered to her.
I love this amount
of
petty.
That is awesome.
Amazing. However, this is going to go on, I think, for her for a while, because they decided, oh yeah, we're going to sue you. So they did sue her. So the case is still all tied up in courts.
Oh no, you can't sue me. I'm going to sue you.
But it sounds like some of the rulings so far have gone in her way, like leaning for her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's really causing this dealership. I don't know what their new name is. Like, did they have to? Anyway, she found the ultimate revenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of brilliant. I would never think of it.
No.
Me neither.
Pretty cool. The world's oldest baby was just born in the U.S.
Wait, what? The oldest baby?
The oldest baby.
So don't we all start at zero?
Born from an embryo that was frozen back in 1994.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was my senior year of high school.
Yeah. This kid's name, just born, Thaddeus Daniel Pierce. Don't hear that name very often.
Thaddeus.
Yeah, he was born.
Thaddeus was, I believe, Randy Moss's son, right? Tight end at LSU.
Yeah,
Thaddeus Moss.
Yeah. It's an old name.
Yeah.
I think a Thaddeus Young, NBA player.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, there's not a lot of them.
We're stoning when we need them.
That's not from 40 years ago. He played in the 2000s.
This kid was born last Saturday in Ohio, and his parents say they adopted the embryo from a woman who originally froze it, but no longer needed it.
Oh, okay.
And so they're using it, and it was more than 30 years old.
Hmm. Did they have to go through
an adoption agency?
Yeah.
Probably. No, they didn't.
To be approved? Or they just bought the embryo?
I think they just
got it. Can you sell these things?
I don't know how it all works. I'm sure they were freezing it in some bank, and the woman no longer said, I don't need this.
Huh.
So released it to, I don't know how it works, right? Like,
yeah.
You got to be careful releasing it. It can come back to haunt you.
Anyway, I got another news story. There's a new
such
term for people who have become super reliant on AI.
Oh, okay.
So this is for the people who especially use ChatGPT before they do anything, right? Like, let's go online and check. They're being called sloppers.
Okay.
So somebody gave an example online. So there's a man who went on a first date but was surprised when the woman he went on the date with pulled out ChatGPT on her phone to ask what she should order for dinner. So she's a slopper. She didn't get a second date.
That might be the dumbest thing I've...
What she did?
Yeah.
Both,
but yeah. ChatGPT, what should I order at this restaurant? Look at the menu!
But she wants to know what's the most highly rated menu item.
I agree with you, John. Ask your waiter or waitress. Hey, what do you recommend here? What sounds great? Have a conversation. Instead of talking
to
your
stupid
computer.
And it will tell you exactly
computer.
How to order it, I bet. I've never done this, but it will probably tell you, like, order it this way. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
What next?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Let me know how Colin responds.
No, not when I'm at the restaurant. I'm going to try it right now.
Oh,
like, what should I order when I go and just put a restaurant name in there?
Should I use a spoon or a fork?
Yeah.
Let me know, ChatGPT.
No. Spork.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, we are going to get into the cookie jar. It's 97.1.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's super easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.